see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Then we get to Tyler. Oh, Tyler, my God. Like helping his like other hot friend run a nonprofit for children and food literacy. Like, it's too much.
I think we both have in our notes, in caps, he's so hot. Like, this is
independent observation, just a very unique observation. We are very discerning. Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
So Claire is out this week, but I just have a lot of feelings I need to work through. Like, there was this moment last night when I was just sitting on my couch, eating my food while furiously taking notes. I looked up at the TV screen and at my Twitter feed, and something just clicked. And it was in that moment, everything around me was spinning, and I just thought, oh my gosh, this show is real, and I'm still watching it. Wow. Just the moment every little girl dreams of.
Sounds like you really found God in that moment.
Wow, we have so much to dig into today. And as you heard before, I'm joined by my stellar colleague, Lee Blickley.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. What an episode.
What an episode. And this is just going to be a real fun recap. It's just the two of us and Nick. Sarah's out, Claire's out. It's just pandemonium in the studio.
With the three of us.
With the three of us. We're going freaking wild. I just got back from New Orleans. Hannah's in Amsterdam. Like, there's just a lot going on.
There's a lot. And you know what? At least they're not in Latvia anymore, even though it was beautiful. I'm excited that they took us to someplace that we know, Amsterdam.
Oh my gosh, guys, this is such a dumb aside, but my mother texted me after listening to the Riga podcast, and apparently I have ancestry from Riga.
What?
Yes.
So now we have to go.
I thought it was like all Polish-Russian, but I guess like Jewish Latvians too. So yeah, you know, the motherland.
Of course. But, you know, Riga was so different. Like, we all know Amsterdam and we knew she was going to go on bike rides and all of this. At least Riga was exciting in that way where we didn't know what was coming.
But you know what Riga didn't have that Amsterdam does have, Lee?
What?
Tulips.
Yeah, that's
fields of tulips that Hannah can walk through pensively.
Just for the, you know, 10-second intro clip.
I mean, it was a good one. Very sweeping. Hannah is ready to move past the drama. There's 7 awesome men left. Not sure that's the word I would use. And they're heading into hometowns.
It's a big week.
It's a big week.
And you know what? At this point, we haven't really seen Hannah open up, even though she's asking all these guys to open up.
Well, she talks about opening up quite a lot.
But she hasn't told us anything.
This episode, we actually learned a little bit more about her, about some of these men. Mm-hmm. And it was enjoyable.
It was good.
The men really just arrive in a pack in Amsterdam. They're very into walking around the city. Connor starts talking, which is how we know immediately he's going home this episode, because we've seen very little of him.
He speaks?
He's strong and silent. Very tall.
Very tall.
He's
him and Tyler
six.
Are like the tallest dudes.
But like, that's very tall. 6'6" is very tall.
Yeah. I heard somebody who was on a Bachelor or Bachelorette said that we don't realize how tall these guys are, and how when you're one of the guys that's on the show, you feel very like less than, because all the other guys are big and bulky and tall and handsome. I can't imagine. But yeah, I didn't realize much about Connor until this episode. Sadly, it's his last episode.
So Jed gets the first date. And we get one of the best lines of the episode, where Jed is just like walking off with Hannah, getting right to the date. And one of the guys, I wasn't quite sure who, was like, I hope he didn't bring his guitar with him.
Yeah, it was great. And then I was like, wait, maybe he does have it. Just he gave it to the producers and he's going to be like, pull that baby out.
Oh, my God. This date was hard to watch because it was very sweet and they seem very into each other. But it's impossible not to just look at it through the lens of like, Jed had a girlfriend back home and also apparently like was allegedly maybe sleeping with another woman during that relationship. Like, there's just a lot of less than flattering stories out there.
It's unfortunate because Jed was definitely a front runner and one of those guys that we enjoyed watching.
And he is maybe the front runner, I'd say, after this episode.
But now when you watch it, you just can't separate what you know.
Right.
And then you're also like, you feel bad for Hannah because we know that she doesn't know what is going on behind the scenes.
And I want to be clear that I don't necessarily think that him coming on, you know, with this person back home or coming on for music, that's not necessarily mutually exclusive with his ability to have developed real feelings for Hannah.
Yeah.
But it's just a fundamental dishonesty that feels really gross when you get this far into it. Like, I think when we see one of the dudes who leaves earlier on having that, it's just, which is maybe what he intended. It feels like less icky, as at this point, I think we can assume that like a lot of people come on not assuming they're going to find love.
Yeah, they come on for the experience and to maybe get
some Instagram followers.
Exactly. And I have to say, I don't think Jed's like playing her. I think he's falling for her. I think it just sucks that he's falling for her and he also has somebody at home who he told he'd be back.
And then
like,
he
this
ghosted.
Isn't going to work
right.
out.
Right, right. No, the real lesson is like, if you're going on a dating show, maybe end the relationship you're in before. Like, make that clear. And also be honest with the new partner.
Yeah. It's just not a good situation.
It's not a good look. But they walk across the canal. They eat some chocolate.
Lots of chocolate.
They get in a boat and they make out. And Hannah really wants to feel secure in her feelings with Jed. They see a puppet show in the square. They do some silly dances. I think this is the heel clicking moment.
Yes, which was a big moment.
Yeah, we didn't know at the, you know, on first watch, but.
Yeah.
Very significant.
It is now. And they both could heel click. It took Hannah like twice or three times, but she got it down.
Very limber.
I would fall flat on my face, so at least they have that going for them. And then, of course, they sit down, for a drink, and they meet this couple.
Not at all, you know, not at all pre-scouted.
Nope, not at all.
They just turn,
what are you guys doing with all these cameras around? Are you on a date?
Can we talk about how Jed thinks that he's English?
Yeah. I was just going to bring that up. So where are you from? We're English. Yeah. And she's like, American? We're American?
She's like, do you know what English means? That means you're from England. It doesn't mean you speak English. There are many countries where English is spoken.
Yeah. I am English. Like, he's not even thinking in that way. And then, of course, they're like, how long have you guys been together? And they're like, we've been married for 54 years. And Anna goes, congratulations.
And they're like, but don't worry. We only spent 10 days together before getting engaged. It was written in the stars.
Yeah, you know, producers scouted that couple out. Like,
how long were you dating before
you got married? Perfect. This is perfect for the situation we're in.
Jed talks a lot about how he has, you know, growing feelings for Hannah. They're very effortless. And Hannah sort of gives this rambling speech. She goes, I kind of feel the same way. It's hard for me to, like, I want you to know I'm really just, like, protective of my heart and the person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. It's just a lot harder than I thought. My feelings are growing so much with you. And then I go to another conversation and I have to be all in. And I thought this was really, really, really telling. The fact that she is basically saying to him, I'm finding it hard to stop thinking about our relationship when I'm with the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not something she said to anyone else. It's also a little bit breaking that fourth wall of bachelor, bachelorette land where, you know, we know that they're having to sort of compartmentalize and maybe even fake it a bit once you get to this point with some of the people so as to not, like, ruin the show. And it's rare that they kind of admit that. And so I think we saw that with Jed.
Yeah, we definitely saw a shift, too, in Hannah. Like, I feel like she's just been having a lot of fun, as she should be. And this week was when she started to realize, like, oh, crap, like, I have to make a decision soon. I'm going to these guys' hometowns. And she's really honest with Jed during their dinner portion of their date, where she pretty much tells him, like, I'm falling for you. Like, this is, it's kind of like, I see him as her front runner, which again is unfortunate just because of what we know.
Right, but I agree.
But at least she's getting to that point of, like, showing us a little bit about who she is most into at this moment. Because I feel like I can't read Hannah. I don't really know much about her.
So, I mean, in between this, we learn that Tyler's getting the next date card and we start to see Connor sort of, you know, the beginning of the end of Connor. Mm-hmm. But let's get into that night portion of Judd's date. Because as you said, it felt really significant. Hannah is wearing the greatest outfit in this. I know I've been like a maybe overly enthusiastic proponent of lady power suits, but like this was a good one.
Yeah. All of her clothes are just to die for. And I know that if I ever tried to wear any of these like low cut mini dresses or these power suits, I would not look anywhere near
Hannah. No, Lee, you could pull off the power suit for
sure. But my gosh, that red suit was just.
I want that red suit.
She looks so
good. I would wear the hell out of that red suit.
And it set the vibe for the whole night. Like, she just looked like a boss and she was ready to like get down to business, like with Jed. And I don't know. They had. It just really sucks because I do like what I see with the two of them. I just can't separate what's going on. So I just it's sad that I didn't pay as much attention because I know like she can't end up with this guy, right? Maybe.
I mean, maybe. The thing is this news didn't come out until later. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Like there's actually so many questions, which it makes me feel very bad for her, but it does add to the kind of intrigue of the season. You know, when the real world kind of infiltrates this like very controlled environment mm-hmm. of The Bachelorette. So it's kind of colored all of the conversations they had. He kind of says, I see that all of these other relationships and dealing with all the drama and being in the position you're in is kind of stacking up on you. And I want to take some of that load off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if I have to hear about things I don't like, I will. Sometimes in relationships, you have to hear things that don't make you feel good. And that, in a vacuum, is a really wonderful thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But
again,
it felt really weird knowing that on her end, if she is in a relationship with him, she's hearing currently a lot of things that probably don't make her feel very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Hannah, that leads Hannah to just open up. And
before Jed does.
Yes, she revisits that heel click that we watched earlier in their date. And she just said, you know, when she was looking at him doing that and he turned to her and he smiled and they were laughing and she just saw his face and she realized like, oh my gosh, like this is real. Jed, like I'm falling in love with you. And I was like, what? Like she just.
Unprompted.
Yep. Just opened up before he even got to say
anything. She didn't say that to anyone else, did she?
No. And he didn't even tell her yet, right? Well, he's told her before that he was, like, falling for her, I think last week when they were in bed and he was singing yet another song to her.
Oh, shocker.
But, yeah, it was surprising that she kind of just let him know how she felt before letting him kind of.
It just makes me think that she likes Jed better than all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't sure because I see some things between her and Tyler and her and Peter that feel really positive, but this date, like, she's into Jed.
Yep. And then, of course, he says, my heart just fell through the earth.
What does that mean?
Like, what?
It's like some Jules Verne Journey to the Center of the Earth shit.
Are we in a romantic novel? Like, we might be.
A badly written one.
Yeah. He's going to use that line for his next song. But, yeah, you know, they have chemistry. They are definitely in it with each other.
And he gets a rose.
Yep. Yep, and we'll have to see how to help him plays sleep. Out. He's going to Nashville. He's taking her home to Tennessee. And maybe we'll meet his girlfriend.
Like, oh, God. I just like that for Jed, a rose is his Ambien.
Yep.
He'll be able to sleep for the next 3 days now.
He's relaxed. He's ready to go.
Then we get to Tyler. Oh, Tyler. My God. It's so bad. Like, why?
The thirst is ridiculous.
The thirst is so real. And it was a slow burn for me with Tyler. I think I made a lot of judgments about him. I'm like, you can't be hot and good. It's just, like, not a thing.
But his opening package, but, like, just when he was dancing
I know,
in the garage.
Dancing was very charming, but I was just, like, suspicious
I
of
was
him.
In.
And now, it's like everything I learned about him, I like him more. And now he's based in New York, which is just a real, you know, really rising.
He's right here.
In my book. He's right here. Like, helping his, like, other hot friend run a nonprofit for children and food literacy. Like, it's too much.
I think we both have in our notes, like, he's so hot. Like, this is
independent observation, just a very unique observation. I think every woman, very discerning.
It's hard. Like, in past seasons, I've talked to my girlfriends. Like, we all have guys that were like, yeah, but we all have our favorite. But this season, I think everybody's favorite is Tyler C.
I feel like this was similar to the thirst for Peter on Rachel's season, mm-hmm. where you were just like, what?
You're so right.
Someone this good looking doesn't really exist. And then the more we learned about Tyler, we're like, he's smart.
Mm-hmm.
He's a philanthropist. He believes in equality. Like, these are, like, what?
Yep, he stands up for her. Like, I just love everything about him. And he's so...
His nervousness around horses was adorable. They go horseback riding on their date. It definitely wasn't a super romantic day-date. It was much more like doop-de-doop. The horses kept going in the wrong directions. They kept trying. You know, they were snack blocking.
I was like, I don't think they know
English. The horses were snack blocking.
They're going, like, go,
Hannah
horse, go.
And Tyler.
And I'm like, I don't think they know what you're saying. Like, or as Jed would say, speak American. The four horses were not behaving at all.
They didn't get their stroop waffle. It was very sad.
No, and he was so nervous on that horse.
I know. I want to know, like, what terrible experience did Tyler have on a horse?
Even, like, lifting her
this,
up.
This, like, very large man is very frightened.
But it was so charming.
It was adorable.
And then, of course, they're just riding down. Well, not really riding. The horses are going any which way. They scoop up so many. They get, like, ice cream cones and...
Then they go to the pickled herring stand, and Tyler in his, you know, ITM is like, this is one of my worst nightmares. And, of course, Hannah, we've seen, you know, during the last season, too, that she is just game to eat anything.
And she, like,
so she just houses this pickled herring and is like, pretty good.
It's pretty good. And then, of course, he's sitting there like, oh, shit, like, I got to eat this pickled herring
now. So then
now.
He takes a bite, and he, like, almost... completely pukes, but he just ends up, he gags and spits it up. And I was like, this is really, it's really says something dark about me that I'm like, oh, wow, that was so charming.
And he also still looked so attractive.
I'm like, wow, I'd still probably make out with you right after you just gagged up pickled fish. Like, what?
And then they were
it's
like,
a problem.
Kissing
I have a problem.
After all that. And I was just like, oh, this must not have been the most attractive kiss, but who gives a damn because it's Tyler freaking C. Like, I don't know what it is about him. He's just lovely. He's a lovely person.
We need to meet him.
Yep, we do.
I mean, he's local, so. But this is the point where we kind of get the indication that, like, they have a great time together. Tyler is very comforting to her, but she feels like she's not getting enough from him.
Mm-hmm.
She needs some more emotion. She needs him to be more effusive. And she says, you know, if you're inviting me in, I'll accept it, but I need to feel like you really are. I want to really know we're in this thing. And she points to his head and his heart. She wants to know what's in there and in there.
It was really sweet. And I have to say, I do feel like her date with Jed, like, helped her get here with Tyler, where she was just like, oh, like, I should get these guys to open up and I should open up. This is getting real for me. Because I haven't really seen her actually, like...
say anything specific.
Exactly. And she's always like, tell me something. Like, I want to know more about you. But she never follows through. But this week she was definitely, like, following through with these questions and getting these guys to,
right.
like, say something that we can take with us to be like, oh, Tyler C. is this person or Jed is this person.
They get
or
to
even
that.
Hannah is this person.
They get to that night portion and Hannah's just like, we are here to talk about your trauma. What has scarred you? Please let me know. Tyler begins by being like, I was a little nervous of that horse.
Yeah, I'm scared of horses, so that was the biggest trauma of the day, at least.
Yeah, and then he actually does kind of go into his childhood, and we get a little bit more insight into the way he grew up. You know, he grew up fairly wealthy in a big, beautiful house on the water in Florida. And then when the market crashed, you know, during the 2008 financial crisis, his dad lost everything. And it put a strain on his parents' marriage, and they ended up splitting up. And he said, you know, the way he put it was his parents couldn't lean on each other, and they turned away from each other.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, and they moved into like, you know, much, they had to downsize their lifestyle and put a big strain on the family. And, you know, that wasn't all that long ago, right?
Yeah,
like we're talking in the last decade. So
yeah. He must have been at least in his like...
Well, he's 25, 26. So like he was a teenager,
teens.
Yeah, like he was fully... He was of the age where he was fully cognizant of everything that was going on. And also being a teenager and having to completely shift the way that you think about money, like those things can be really, really difficult. It's really just like a trying time in anyone's life. And I also think this is the first time we've seen someone on the show kind of mention the financial crisis.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting because obviously so many Americans were affected by this, especially like in terms of having their... losing their homes.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was actually really, really interesting to hear about.
It was super touching. And then it really hit me when he said, like, his biggest fear is a failed marriage. And it just, like, I don't know, put it into perspective, I think, for Hannah, too, that he's one of the guys that's taking this very seriously. Maybe we didn't think so in the beginning because I feel like a lot of us judged him, like you said, by the way he looked. And
yeah, it's like, don't judge a book by its very hot cover.
Yeah, but he's one of these guys that's like, he's in it. Like, I feel like he really likes Hannah. That was a great moment for them. And then Hannah kind of gets into, like, her family dynamic and that her parents are still married, yes, but she sees things in their marriage that maybe she doesn't want to emulate, like, in her own relationship communication and stuff like that.
Loved this.
Yeah.
So much.
I'm sure her parents didn't love it.
No, and she tweeted about it. She's like, ugh, awkward. But I think this is the first time, actually, that we've heard someone on this show talk about their parents' marriage, their parents' marriage that has lasted in a way that isn't almost akin to hero worship. You know, we hear all the time people say, my parents have been together for 30 years and all I'm looking for is a love like they had. And it's like that is what's made me good. That is the thing my family has accomplished. That is why I know I want love. And I think relationships are different. Her parents might have a perfectly good marriage for them and it still might not be what Hannah wants. And I think that's a pretty astute observation and something that probably a lot of us feel.
Yeah.
You know, maybe look at someone else's relationship or a familial relationship and say, like, I love them, but I want to do things differently.
Well, that's how even my parents are going on almost 40 years of marriage. And there are things that are, like, amazing about their marriage and things that I try to do differently in my own relationship. But it's like there's no relationship is perfect. So
right,
I did like how she was like, they're married and they've been married, but they've
had still work.
Yeah, it's always work.
Exactly. You know, and I think that often this show treats marriage as this end game rather than the beginning of something. Mm-hmm. And this sort of exposed that a little bit. And I thought that was one of her best moments of the season, honestly, because we got to actually understand something about her that felt specific.
Yeah. Maybe that's why she told that couple in Amsterdam, congratulations on making it 54 years, because it is. It's work and you have to work at it. But I did love this whole conversation between them and how they really talked about, like, marriage and relationships and not just, like, I don't know, bullshit that we've seen so far.
Right.
Of course, she wants to meet his family, so she gives him a rose. So they're heading to Jupiter, Florida next week.
I mean, and
which
he
should
has
be really
just
fun.
Fallen hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
He could be the guy getting down on one knee. And they ride off under a blanket in a horse-drawn carriage.
So romantic.
A lot of horses. A lot of horses on this date. Poor
Tyler. Like, I'm terrified of horses when he
put me under that blanket.
The
yeah.
And the producers are like, gotta put him with tons of horses this season. Just get all the horses.
Yeah, he's like, I have no problem with heights, but horses.
Mm-hmm.
So back at the hotel, a date card arrives. Again, Connor's like, this is my moment. Mm-hmm.
She was sick last time. I gotta get a one-on-one. Like,
and she's like, actually, Mike.
Yeah. Which, we love Mike. So I was happy to see Mike get a one-on-one.
Me too. But I also was like, oh no, whoever gets this last one-on-one, they just gave out two roses. Mm-hmm. This is always the time where the person or a person on a one-on-one gets sent home.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it was not, I mean, it wasn't going to be good news for Mike or Connor, but I still would rather see Mike on my screen than, you know, Connor. For a whole one-on-one.
Yeah. Mike is really happy. Connor is not.
Connor is
Connor is crushed.
And then Tyler comes home and is like filling them in on his date and how, you know, great it went. He's like, where is Connor? And Garrett is kind of says, you know, haven't seen him in a while. He was really upset. And then we see Connor showing up at Hannah's hotel room. And mm-hmm. she's like, hey, bud.
And she's clearly
why are you here?
She's clearly had a fun date with Tyler. Like, you could kind of see that she's
got
like
the Tyler
tired.
Glow.
Yeah, she's got the glow. She's like journaling about her date with Tyler. And Connor's just like, hey, like, I'm here because, you know, I really wanted more time. Like, I wanted that one-on-one. And at first she's like kissing him and like they seem flirtatious.
She likes him. She doesn't. But I also think she knows this dude's going home this week.
So she was just like, you know what, let's get it over with.
Well, there's a moment where she kind of says to him, I've loved our one-on-one time, but you've totally faded in the group dates. Mm-hmm. You know, he does seem pretty reserved and shy, and he acknowledges that. He says, yeah, that's why I wanted a one-on-one.
Yeah, he's like, I don't always stick out in a crowd, which really like,
also
hurt
because
my heart
he's
a little
so
bit.
Tall.
I know.
So he literally sticks out in a crowd.
But not
metaphorically. Not energetically.
And he's just like, we just need time. Like, I just feel like we need time and we can make this work. And you just see Hannah's face just, it drops a little. You could tell right there. She's like, Connor,
he
I'm
says,
sorry.
You know, the day that they had the one-on-one, he knew he was feeling feelings of falling in love. And she's just like, disgusted. This was sort of reminded me of Nick's season where every time a woman that he wasn't that into said, I love you, you could just be like,
you could
tell in his face that he was like, well, that's the test. Absolutely not. You got to go now.
Yep.
And
I have no feelings. We're moving on.
Right. And Connor just keeps going. And this reminded me of when Elise went to go talk to Colton. And you know, it's like Connor seemed to know maybe I'll go home by doing this, but maybe hopefully she'll actually respond really well and want me to stay. And the Elise thing was a similar vibe, but it didn't work out for either of them.
Yeah. And then, of course, while we're seeing this go on between Hannah and Connor, we're, like, back at the hotel room where Luke P. is just like, they don't have a future. Like, let's get rid of him. That all excites me. Like, let's get rid of all these dudes. Like, this is my wife. This is just in the way.
Like, right, and you're like, on the one hand, he's not wrong. But the way he puts it feels so cavalier and dickish. To say you're really excited by someone else's heartbreak just feels very callous.
Yeah.
Whether or not you might be able to acknowledge that ups your odds.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really callous way of talking about human beings.
Yeah, and this is just when the Luke P. show starts up again. Like,
and these guys just have reached their fucking breaking point.
I think we all have, but I cannot imagine being those guys.
Having to live with him for this many weeks.
Like, and
they can't leave.
No.
They can't escape. They physically cannot leave the hotel. They can't watch television.
Nope.
They can't, like, they can only just, like, read the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Even
which
Peter.
Which Luke would be the one doing, obviously, not to knock the Bible.
It's like even somebody like Peter, who's been really calm and collected about
he's
this whole
right, and
he's losing his shit. Like, everybody is just done with Luke P., and he just keeps going. And then, of course, we're back at Hannah, and she's just like, you know, she's not confident in where their relationship is, and she just doesn't think it's going to get any further, even if they had a little bit of time. So she sends him home, and that's our first guy to leave this week.
Yeah, and he takes it in stride. He's like, you know, I didn't want this to be goodbye, and it sucks. And Hannah says, I'm sorry. Connor feels heartbroken, and he leaves, I assume, heading straight to Mexico.
Yeah, I think so. He might be fun. It might be nice to get to know Connor a little bit more.
He's also totally the type of guy. Like, he's just so cute that
he
you know
like a
in a group where there's more than one woman, he would do well.
Yeah. I can see him like Hannah G, like for some reason.
Yeah. I could see him just being with someone that maybe is a little bit more low key.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see him kind of latching on to someone and just being like,
yep.
And now we're a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want good things for Connor. He seems very sweet.
Yep, he does. And he posted like the sweetest Instagram.
Really? I missed that. Wow, I'm usually like, such a good Instagram stalker.
Just about his experience and how happy he was to, you know, have gotten the chance to meet Hannah and aww. For all his family and friends for supporting him. It was just really sweet. He seems like a nice guy, but he's definitely working that.
He's also very young, so I'm not too worried about him. He's 24.
He's definitely working it to be like, okay, now send me to Paradise. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm sure. Yeah. And they're all, by the way, they're back from Paradise. Like, mm-hmm. Paradise is done filming.
Oh, so yeah. He definitely goes then. He was like, ABC, I love you so much.
Yeah. I'm sure he was in Paradise. He's like, ABC, I could not be more grateful to you for all of the opportunities you have given me.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, Lee and I are going to have a lot more to say about Tyler C. and Luke P.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/love to see it. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
So then we move on to the mic date. And Hannah says again, you know, after Jed, after Tyler, the bar has been set really high.
Mm-hmm.
And we know pretty quickly Mike is not going to clear that bar.
No. Even though he's pretty confident.
Mike has the most beautiful smile. Can we just talk? Can we have a Mike smile appreciation moment?
He's just so great. And
I love him.
I don't know. I never saw it with them. But I just feel like Mike has been like a great friend to the other guys. He's just stood out this season. Yeah, he's been so great to her and supportive.
More mature. He's 31. Yes.
If you don't make this guy the bachelor, the first black bachelor, then you are
crazy.
ABC.
It just feels like
get it together.
This show is so whitewashed. If they don't go for this guy, will they ever pick a black bachelor?
That's
maybe
how I feel.
That's how I feel. And it's really depressing, and obviously they have some other people that also I think would do a good job, but it just feels like if you want to actually diversify this show, you have to just take the leap, and you have to be willing to to shake things up, which is absurd that this is even considered, you know, shaking things up.
Yeah.
But Mike is such just objectively a great option. And Hannah was the, you know, number six person.
Mm-hmm.
So we have precedent for this.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's incredibly smart. He's clearly ready for a really serious relationship, ready for marriage. Mm-hmm. It's something he actually wants. And Mike seemed to fill the role with Hannah this season that we saw someone like Matt filling in Rachel's mm-hmm. season, where they probably, you know, honestly, probably Mike also knew in his heart of hearts, like, I'm not going to be the last guy here.
Mm-hmm.
But they connected really well on a friend level.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of sweetness and care for each other.
And just, like, trust between each other. Like,
yeah.
She always felt really comfortable with him, but in a friendly way. But it was probably just nice for her to have somebody like Mike who was there.
Who was a bit of an escape, who didn't feel stressful, and who also was just clearly so smart and able to kind of put words to what she's feeling and just be that calming presence for her.
Mm-hmm.
They go biking, which was really sweet. They just
bike with Mike. It was so cute.
It was so cute. All of these dates are just like various ways to go over and by the canals around The Hague.
Mm-hmm.
And right, they're still in The Hague during this.
Yes,
I think.
Yeah, I think they're right on the
canal. Stop by a gallery. Mike loves art. Hannah loves art. They talk to the artist. They attempt to draw each other.
It's great. Like, I feel like I was back in, like, my kindergarten class, like, drawing portraits. And then Mike just love his art. That's what he says. And
I mean, he ain't wrong.
He ain't wrong.
They get their portrait painted at one point, and they are draped in very weird silk.
Yeah, Mike's like, I should have worn my good underwear. And I was like, what?
Also,
like,
why? Are these bad underwear? He should have been shirtless.
Yeah, it was all weird. And then Hannah also had, like, a tank top on. And
It just didn't quite, wasn't quite working.
I was like, if
you're
going to go toga, go full toga.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If you're going to go bungee jumping naked, do it.
Fully naked.
But yeah, that must have been awkward too, because they were posed and like sitting.
They couldn't really move.
And, it looks like they talked though, and
Mike says to her, you know, today might be the first day with my wife, and Hannah just her face drops.
That's when we see. Like,
that's when we know.
Yeah, and the music changes, and it's just like you know,
this is a mismatch.
Yeah.
And she even says, Mike is everything that she's been asking for. He's honest. He's direct. He's wonderful to be around. But now she has to figure out how she feels. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, at this point, if she has to figure out how she feels, she doesn't
feel
for him romantically.
Yeah.
So they're in, you know, a museum surrounded by gorgeous paintings. Girl with a pearl earring.
Mm-hmm.
Love that
gorgeous
painting. Love that book.
And like, Hannah is just...
She's weeping.
Mike's not even there. He's just showing up, and she is clearly shaken.
Distraught.
And she just goes into this whole spiel about how she's been walking around this museum and taking in all the art, and she's crying. And then she saw this one piece of art that was, like, with, I think it was Catherine. St. Catherine surrounded by men or something, and it's just related to her experience, and she's just going on and on. And Mike's face is just like...
Right, because he arrives, and she's basically like, look, I'm having a hard night.
Mm-hmm.
We need to sit down and talk. And then she talks about this painting of St. Catherine with men behind St. Catherine fighting, and it just encompassed for Hannah what she feels like she's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really shaken, and Mike, of course, being the mensch that he is, asks if he can just give her a hug.
It's so sweet.
It's so sweet.
And he was, like, really excited about the date, and he shows up, and he's just like,
This is not going well for me. And she kind of says, you know, you've been such a leader in the house. Your smile got me through the first rose ceremony, and we've talked so much about the three ladies in your life, and she just knows she's not that fourth lady, and she's just sobbing.
As we all would be if we were...
Which I enjoyed because it shows that these people actually care about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think that it's very sweet and touching to see the lead have to send someone home that they know isn't going to be, you know, their boyfriend, their fiance, but that they have grown to really deeply care about. And those are the people, honestly, that you could see Hannah having a friendship with Mike.
Oh, yeah.
After this.
Mm-hmm. And if she ends up with like Tyler C or Peter, I feel like they're all tight.
Oh my God. They all, as long as she's not with Luke, these dudes are all like, they seem to have such genuine affection for
each other. Tyler, Mike, and Dustin have such a great little bromance going. Like, it's so cute. So yeah, I feel like she'll definitely hang with Mike outside the show.
Yeah.
And I think she's definitely pushing for ABC to make him the Bachelor because she gave him a great...
I loved this. She says, this is by far the hardest goodbye I've had to say because of how good a human Mike really is. Mm-hmm. And then she says, Mike deserves to be loved fiercely just as much as I do.
Yep.
Listen up, ABC. Listen to your gal, Hannah. Bachelor material here.
She basically just gave you the new Bachelor. Take it or leave it. Do not leave it.
Oh. Yeah. Then, of course, back at the hotel, Luke P is just stirring the pot again, being like, it would really make my day if someone came in right now and took Mike's suitcase. You guys are just in my way, like just being completely real.
Yeah.
And then, look, I love Tyler, but I did not. These men have clearly been pushed to their breaking point with Luke, and they're getting real petty.
Yeah, this is a little like out of character.
Yeah, he says, you know, usually like you have really like a villain, but we have like a 5'8 villain.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just a really low blow and. I don't know, just to kind of imply that, like, being 5'8 would somehow make someone, like, less imposing, less masculine. Yeah. First of all, height does not necessarily determine whether someone is, like, a threat or it has no value, what I'm saying.
I think height has no value. Oh, what can I point out about Luke P that we have?
I can cut him down.
He's short, and we're all tall. Like, right.
Tyler, not a good look.
Yeah, I kind of cringed a bit, but then I was like, Tyler C, heart emojis on my eyes.
Oh, still heart emojis, but like, you know, we got to call out our faves too.
Yeah, we do.
It wasn't a great moment.
Nobody's perfect.
They're just bickering, and then, you know, a producer comes in, takes Mike's suitcase, and you just see all the other guys' faces drop.
Yeah.
And Luke's like, woohoo, he's gone. Guess what? One less of us. Simple math.
I thought he was like, simple math. All right, Luke.
And Garrett is just preparing to, like, go after Luke, which you know is such a bad move. Garrett gets way too easily wrapped up in this shit.
But poor Garrett I feel like they always are making Garrett be like, now you go on a date with Luke. And I forgot that Peter still wasn't on a date. And at first I was like, wait, is this a 2-on-1 with Luke and Garrett?
But it basically is. Yeah. It's a 3-on-1, which they've done before. Right, we learn Garrett, Peter, and Luke are going to go off. Garrett's like, I'm prepared for battle. And
the good guys are going to win.
And you're like, now that you've said that, you are certainly not going to win. Luke is, also, we already know that Luke is staying because we've seen this whole conversation between him and Hannah teased. It's very clear that it's happening during Fantasy Suites.
Yeah.
We got Luke for a few more weeks.
So I was watching it with my husband last night, and he's just like, why would they spoil that, like Luke P's still around? And I was telling him it's because us as viewers were also pissed that she's keeping this guy around when he's like gaslighting her.
It's scary, right? Yeah, it sends a really bad message. And I also think that they assume that it's going to be such an insane exchange that people will want to watch it anyway. And it's true. I am still very excited to see him.
I can't wait
get
to
demolished.
See this conversation.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, it's so different than what they've done. This franchise has done in the past. It's just like they try to keep everything like.
But they did it with the fence jumping too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they're kind of like it's such a new world with spoiler culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this has been building for a few years, but it's interesting to see the way the show kind of adapts to it and makes the gamble about what is worth kind of protecting and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess with Luke, they decided like we don't, you know, it's more worth our while to let the audience know that like Hannah will extricate herself from this
because he will be going home.
It's getting very unnerving to watch because he's manipulating her in this way that feels like, oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
And I think I've said like he's like a caricature of a villain, and I guess I still kind of feel that way, but I also think he's like a realistic type of threat.
He's a sociopath, and he's scary. He's scary.
He's a manipulator.
Yeah.
He's very emotionally manipulative.
Like, when you see their conversations, you just see how he plays her, and, like, she ends up
And he's not even smart, but he is very good at manipulation.
You see her face change throughout these conversations where she, like, ends up protecting him.
Right.
It's a problem.
Can we talk about how this was the one outfit that was not good?
Yeah, and then I was just
Why was she in this bright purple sweater? It wasn't really her color.
And she was
very high heels that seemed unnecessary.
Walking around on cobblestone. I'm just like, what?
It reminded me of, like, the Meatpacking District.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't, yeah. It
minus
wasn't.
The sweater, but, like.
And Taylor Loft. Yeah, it wasn't her, but I mean, this episode.
You know, we'll forgive it. Good.
Yeah, we'll forgive it. That white dress, mini dress that she wore, I think, with Tyler C. Oh, my gosh. She knew what she was doing.
So Luke, of course, steals her immediately. Garrett and Peter are, like, broing out, joking that maybe they should take the two roses and just run off. It's, like, not a bad idea.
Yeah, actually, good. Yeah. Do it.
Break all the rules.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have to remember Luke promises he will stay in his lane. None of these guys will be in his mouth. Like, he's here for Hannah and his relationship with Hannah.
This was so funny because he says to Hannah, you know, I hate to talk about the other guys. And I won't be naming names. I don't need to name names, but I just wish that you could see their character exposed. And then he immediately is like, well, Jed told me to keep my head out of my ass. And
can you believe
last
it?
Night,
it was Jed.
Garrett, like, said, you know, was being nice to me and then stopped being nice to me. And Tyler also was making jabs at me, which I expected.
And then he says, and this shocks the hell out of me for you. Like, I am worried that these guys.
Because it's all, oh, right. He's worried about her. He's worried about her that
how
someone
can you
she
likes.
How could you date someone who tells someone who's being a fucking asshole to keep his head out of his ass?
How can you date these, like, manipulative guys? Like, they're just horrible people.
And I think what kind of gets Hannah is that Luke is like, it's a mob mentality. They only dislike me because I'm spending time with you. And he kind of tries to connect it to Hannah not always being the most liked on her season.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she kind of responds a little bit to Luke kind of being like, look, they're all ganging up on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just making assumptions about me because I am not like them.
But again, master of manipulation.
Which,
like,
Pete,
he knew
which
exactly
Peter says.
What he was doing in that moment. Like, remember, Hannah, when, like, Kaylin and the girls, like, ganged up on you and how you felt? That's me right now. And, of course, she's going to be like, oh, I can relate to that experience. So now I can relate to
and
Luke.
Also, it's clear that they are kind of ganging up on him. I mean, sort of, like, deservedly.
Mm-hmm.
But they all like each other and they don't like him. And that's been the case for a long time. So I think she feels some sympathy for him because of that. At one point, she says, I wonder if it's just all boys being boys, which, like, oh, God, ban the phrase.
They're men. They're not boys anymore.
And, like, also, that doesn't excuse poor behavior.
Such an excuse.
And then Hannah and Garrett chat. And, of course, they chat about Luke because she says, this is what Luke said to me. And Garrett kind of says, I didn't say I was being fake nice, but I'm someone where if they talk to me, I'm just going to respond to them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I don't like them, I'm not going to constantly say, I don't like you. But then I wanted to clarify that, like, we weren't cool and I've been very frustrated with him. And Hannah kind of says, like, well, I don't want anyone to, you know, be fake, which I didn't think it was quite fair. Like, you can't always be aggressively telling someone that you're forced to be around. Like, oh, by the way, I still don't like you.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'm going to respond really negatively to every single thing you say.
This was an interesting conversation because then Garrett goes back to her being like, listen, like, this is the Luke P show. Like, I don't want to talk about Luke P every time I'm with you. And then she's like, you know, she comes back at him a little bit like, well, I asked you, so, like, I want to talk about it. And then he's like, well, I'm sorry. I'm not, like, I don't want to, like, make you upset, but I'm also trying to not constantly talk about this guy when I have one-on-one time with you.
Right.
Like,
and
you
unfortunately, Garrett is now defined by Luke and he cannot escape it, which means he's going home.
Yeah. It's just very obvious.
Yeah. Then we see Luke just eating some meat. Like, such a Chad move.
He's the new Chad.
New Chad.
Cold cuts for at life. Like,
bologna.
It didn't look very appetizing either. You know that bologna was sitting out for
a very long time.
Steaming
and these dates are long. And Garrett's like, I will not go home because of Luke P. And which is just such a line that you only would hear if he is certainly going home because of Luke. Of course, they start talking about lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett thought Luke was going to stay at his. He didn't.
It's the same shit all over again.
And they're just like, you're fake. No, you're fake. No, that's good. Fine. That's good. That's good. It's bullshit. You're bullshit. Like, oh, my God. He's like, you're fake smirking. No, it's a real smirk. Like, this is so I need this to be done.
Yeah, you're a snake and a weasel. Like, what else can you disgust me? Yeah, you make me want to gag.
Yeah, Link's like, you make me want to gag. And this is the part where it gets, flips the switch and gets really scary for me.
Oh, yeah.
Luke gets up and stands really menacingly over Garrett and screams at him, you know, you are not going to mess it up between him and Hannah. And I thought that was, like, very disturbing.
That was the moment where you're just like, okay, we can joke about Luke P and how we're sick of the drama. But no, he is like, this is, he's becoming dangerous. Like, it's not a safe environment for, like, anyone. And it makes me not
and
only
he
worried
needs some
for, like,
therapy. Like, yeah. That is, you should not be able to be goaded into that level of fury.
Like, when you see him act like that, you're like, oh my gosh, if he ends up being in a relationship with Hannah, like,
or with this, anyone.
Yeah, this shit is gonna happen. Like, he is.
He needs to
unstable.
Deal with his anger. Yeah. He needs to deal with his anger, and he doesn't know how to, you know, which, like, happens with a lot of men because they are not taught to process their emotions properly. And so Luke is either, you know, monotone and equivocating, mm-hmm. or he's just furious.
And then he just takes the bologna and, like, tosses it in Garrett's lap. And he's like, your bologna. Like,
oh, my God.
And then you're just like, what did I just watch? Like, my emotion just went from, like, oh, my God, he's so scary, to, oh, my God, he just threw bologna in Garrett's lap. Like, why?
What's happening?
What is happening?
And then Peter, I think, you know, handles this all the way that Garrett should have.
He walked
Peter
away.
Is pissed.
Yeah.
You know, Luke goes up to him and says, I just want you to know that I did talk about people. And Peter just walks away.
Yeah.
And he's like,
Peter's outside.
He's like, he's it doesn't like, end. Yeah. I want this to be done. I'm so sick of Luke. And he expresses that to the camera. And then he goes to Hannah and is like, this is about us. Mm-hmm. I'm here to comfort you. Family's everything to me. Like, I want to introduce you to his family, which is what she wanted. She wanted someone to say, you're important to me. I want you to meet my family. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all about you.
And I love them together. They just have, like, insane chemistry.
Insane chemistry.
But Peter reminds me so much of our boy Ben Higgins. And, like,
yeah.
He's just so sweet and, like.
He was really starting to bore me. And we saw a little bit more of his personality this episode. I liked him a little more.
Yeah. Because he can be one note sometimes.
Yeah.
And his awkward, like, makeout sessions. But this week he was just
they
like.
They are, like.
She's
they
my
have the
girl.
Best physical chemistry.
Oh, yeah. But I love when he's like, yeah, she's my girl. You're not going to, like, mess up this day for us, like, to Luke. And he's just, he was very honest with her in that one-on-one time. And you just knew Peter was going to get the rose. Like, it was very obvious.
And he says, there's so many things I admire about you. You know, he says, I'm smitten. He loves how goofy and strong Hal is, how raw and sexy and mm-hmm. honest. And he's never met someone like her. He's loving this and he doesn't want it to end. And this just wins her over. Mm-hmm. I mean, she feels like he's a break from the drama. He's calming. She can see a future with him. And so she gives him that rose. And Peter is like, fuck yeah, woo.
The best reaction ever to getting a rose. And you know what else I noticed this whole episode was, like, these little forehead kisses that kept happening between, like, Tyler C gave one to Hannah and then Hannah gave one to Peter. And it was like, it was just such a sweet moment where she, like, gives Peter a forehead kiss, gives him the rose. He runs off. He's so excited, like a little schoolboy. I don't know. He's just, he's ridiculous. I like him a lot. And
yeah.
I think, like, next to Mike, he would definitely be in the running to be the
Bachelor. I agree. I think he's another front runner for Bachelor. And he's clearly excited to have the rose, but I think equally excited to be able to exit this date. And which leaves us with Garrett and Luke. This was another not great dig at Luke. Garrett's like, so are you just licking your lips because you're attracted to me?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
they've reached,
again, if that was the kind of thing that was like a joke between friends, it wouldn't have come off as homophobic. But he's clearly trying to insult him by implying that, oh, you're a man who might just be attracted to another man.
Yeah.
And I really didn't love that.
Yeah, these guys are going low.
Like, yeah. And there's so many things to criticize about Luke.
Mm-hmm.
His, you know, affection or lack thereof for other men is, you know, romantically is not one of them. Neither is his height.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, let's find something else.
Mm-hmm. This is when we, you know, we move on to the night portion. Garrett comes out strong with a grammar fail. It's a huge night for Hannah and I's relationship. Oh, Garrett. No, I hate when they do this.
alert the copy desk. Yeah.
You need an editor.
Yeah, and then Luke is like, Garrett, you look nice. Like,
it feels Luke, so menacing.
You guys are not friends.
Luke is wearing his signature suit. Again, does he only have one suit?
With the big, huge, like, shoulder pants.
And it's just very distinct. Like, buddy, did you not just bring, like, a black or a blue or a gray suit with you?
Yeah, did you get that dry clean before you wore it again? Like,
maybe all the rest of them are just sharing at this point, and none of them will share with Luke. I don't know what's going on, but... He's just, the suit is the same one over and over and over again. And it's bad. It's very bad.
It's not great. Then Hannah is wearing a little black dress that is just, she looks
good. That's great. She looks great.
She looks so great.
So we first get one-on-one time between Luke and Hannah. And this is where we see kind of where Hannah and Luke actually do connect.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how sports was this huge part of his life. And during his freshman year, I assume of college, he was exploring and experimenting with drinking and partying and chasing sex and those, quote, selfish fleshly desires, and nothing satisfied him. And then he got in the shower. This is where we hear he found God in the shower. And Jesus, God, I'm not sure. And he felt this heavy weight on him, and he cried and felt a voice telling him to let go, and he just could see heaven. You know, he knows he's not been perfect overnight, but he's been doing everything he can since then to, like, be the man that his future wife wants. And this really resonates with Hannah. And, like, as someone who is not Christian and also is not particularly religious, it was hard for me personally to connect to. And I think, like, this, evangelical – there's sort of a shared language of evangelical Christianity, and I personally don't connect to it, but it was clear that Hannah really, really, really does.
She, the whole season has been very open about
Very open in a way that we've had obviously very religious, Baptist and evangelical bachelors and bachelorettes before, but usually they just talk about their faith very generally and use coded terms like faith. They don't they don't speak to specifics. And this season has been much more specific.
So when you put somebody like Luke in there, you know they're going to connect on that level of just, shared religion, shared passion for God and what it represents to them, and just growing up in that kind of environment where they're it seems like their families are religious. I don't know.
Yeah. I was sort of two minds of it. Like, on the one hand, I totally understand why religion and faith and level of kind of devotion would be a point of connection. Mm-hmm. And it points to a similar set of values. And I completely get why that would be something really important to someone looking for a partner. In the context of Luke specifically, it felt like manipulation almost, like almost playing on her faith and devotion in a manipulative way. Like, he deployed this thing at this moment. It's kind of the sort of thing you might actually expect someone to talk about earlier, because it does feel really foundational to him. You know, we saw this in his intro package.
Yeah, I think he must have, like, they must have had some conversation
clearly talked about religion generally.
Religion, but, like, the fact that he saved this big story, which we heard in the beginning,
right,
to tell her that,
it just felt a little
it
off.
Seemed like it was like his Hail Mary, like his, like, I'm
exactly,
which, oh my gosh, Hail Mary. But yeah, it was definitely like,
right, he's like
his last ditch effort to be like, keep me this is why you want me around.
And also
look
it follows, like, if he, you know, has the same conception of religion and values as she does, then his perception of these other men must be correct.
Yeah,
you know. And so I think there was no way that she was going to send him home after this, because she was very touched by this story. She says, you know, I like hearing him share his testimony. Mm-hmm. They bond over the Lord.
And
they make out.
And they kiss. Like, they haven't kissed in so long. And he's just, he's like, can I kiss you? Like,
well,
we
she's
kiss?
Like, do you want to kiss me? And he's like, yeah.
And then he basically tells her that she's falling for him.
It's just the two of them. And they did not leave any room for Jesus between them. But yeah. That I was just like, oh man, Garrett's screwed.
Yep. And now we know we have two more weeks of Luke.
Yeah. So Peter returns back at the hotel, and Tyler and Jed are elated. They are all just like, you know, chest bumping, high fiving,
hugging.
It was very sweet. And Peter's like, oh, yeah, Luke P is imploding. They're like, Garrett's definitely going to come back. Ugh. And then Garrett talks to Hannah. And he puts in a decent showing. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about Luke. He says, you know, I can't wait for you to meet my family. Like, it, you know, I'm falling in love with you, and just hit me like a ton of bricks. And then he says, like, I love you. He's mm-hmm. the first one to fully say, no, I'm falling, but mm-hmm. I love you.
And she reacts like okay to this. Like, it's not
she
like
clearly likes Garrett.
Yeah. It's, I feel like it's not the level point where like, I got to get rid of somebody. I like him, but like.
But does he love the Lord enough?
Yeah. But this guy loves the Lord. So yeah. I got to keep him around.
Yeah. And Hannah's like, on the one hand, Garrett said, I love you. On the other hand, Luke loves Jesus.
Yeah.
So Jesus wins. Mm-hmm. And she's just going to go where her heart's heading her. So she sits down. She immediately tears up. She's like, you're both wonderful, but I have to give the rose to someone who not only opened up their heart, but showed inside their heart, which was a very graphic image for me.
Yeah.
I just pictured some like real dark, like yeah, open like my, heart surgery.
My time watching Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Sandra Oh was just in there and Luke's
in heart. That chest cavity. And I'm like, didn't play the way I think she perhaps intended it to me. And so she gives the rose to Luke. And Garrett gives her a very sweet kiss on the forehead, as you brought up before.
Many forehead kisses. Yeah,
an episode
that
of forehead
very
kisses.
Sweet. They had a sweet goodbye, though.
They
he
did.
Kissed her, like on her two cheeks, her chin, her forehead. Like, it was very sweet.
All three of the men, especially Garrett and Mike this week, you know, who mm-hmm. went home, they all went really classy.
Yeah. You could tell, like, Hannah's been great to all of them. They've had fun.
They're
like,
not angry at her. No. Often we see at this point some of the men getting really
angry,
aggro like, yeah. when they're sent home, and we didn't see any of that here, which I really like.
I'm sure we'll see that when Luke gets
I'm sure we will. So then someone comes in and grabs Garrett's suitcase, and these dudes are so pissed. Which Garrett then says, he says, I'm so fucking pissed off in the car. And I think he sort of feels like, if she's not seeing it, like, she just likes this guy, and she's going to end up with him. You know, mm-hmm. she says, Luke's going to keep saying... He says Luke's going to keep saying what Hannah wants to hear, and this is going to last for the rest of her life.
Yeah, and I think all the guys back at the hotel, too, start realizing, like, he's going to be around. Like, there's something going on here. Like, she's fallen for his crap.
Right, and Jed even says, every time you think he's gone, mm-hmm. he's not. And then we get a season preview. Was there anything that really stood out to you? Obviously, we saw a little bit more of her Luke confrontation. Mm-hmm. Oh, we learned that she fucked twice in a windmill, yeah. which, like, get it, girl.
But is this, like, on the show or in the past? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, wait.
I saw someone tweet that there was,
and
there was in fact, some sort of a windmill, like, you know how they stayed in, like, teepees and stuff yeah. before? Like, I feel like it might be some sort of novelty place. And I saw someone tweet screenshots from a promo.
With a windmill?
With a windmill. Here it is. I'm pulling it up to show Lee and Jed.
Oh,
it implies
yeah.
that it is Jed.
And, the
and they're
windmill.
Staying in a windmill.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel or something like that. So, and that, you know, honestly would track. Like,
you know what? Yeah. Especially, like, I have a feeling Jed will definitely be towards the end, no doubt.
I think at this point, this episode made me feel like he was going to win. She just seemed to feel more strongly for him than anyone else. Like, she has this really great emotional connection with Tyler. Oddly, kind of less of a physical thing.
Yeah.
And with Peter, a really intense physical chemistry.
Yeah.
But I think with Jed, she kind
it's
of
like
has
both.
Mm-hmm. And
I feel that way, too.
Yeah, and I really didn't feel that until this episode. And this made me feel like he, you know, might put him over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if he... one, then there are some tough conversations going on right
yeah,
now.
She has, like, Luke P. and Jed. I hope she brings Tyler, man. She's got to bring Tyler. We got to get somebody.
Oh, God. But, our girl Hannah deserves better. But
yeah, in the
you, know, we'll
you, meant, you asked what I noticed in the promo, and what did I notice? A shirtless Tyler just swimming around Florida. And
yeah.
then I blacked out.
Yeah, at least like, yeah, that's all I need. Yeah, oh, right. We're going to see his family. I'm very curious to see Luke P's family. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to be disturbed by it. And then Tyler's fam, we get to meet his dad.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see his childhood home that, you know, got that they had to give up after the crisis. So
that seemed exciting. I'm sure Peter will take her on some sort of flight and, like, fly her around when they meet the Webbers.
I think there's a lot to look forward to. You know, this season's really, like, ramping up as it starts to wind down, and I'm into it. So thank you so much for joining me, Lee. This was a delight.
Of course. Thanks for having me, and apologies to everyone out there for my Tyler obsession.
No, never apologize. Never apologize for enjoying Tyler's face and abs and everything else about him.
Yep.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails, and we actually had a shocking number of little ones this week. Usually they kind of fall off by this point, but no. They were here to deliver for us. First, Hannah tells Tyler that he needs to, quote, man up and eat the pickled herring, which has literally made him basically vomit. We're going to give that one a 2. I think the phrase man up should generally be banned. Mm-hmm. Tyler's gender should have no bearing on whether he, you know, his stomach can handle a given food. It doesn't. He's not failing as a man if he doesn't want to eat something that repulses him.
Yeah, who wants to eat pickled herring? Let's be real.
I mean, look, some people love pickled herring, but, like, we all have our things, Lee.
Yep. For the second one, we have Tyler tells Luke, we have a villain. We have a 5'8" villain. We're going to give this a 3 because it implies that height somehow denotes manliness. And that's just kind of men don't have to be tall to, be a man. Man up?
Oh, my God. Exactly. There's a lot of weird little digs around masculinity this week. Another one is that Hannah wonders if all of this ganging up on Luke is just, quote, boys being boys. Along with man up, I would like to, completely demolish the phrase boys will be boys. Just no. We're going to give this one a 3.5. Gender is not an excuse for poor behavior. There is nothing inherent in a boy that would make him be mean or meaner than a girl. Like, or a non-binary person. Like, I just hate this language. I think it's really, really damaging. And we often see it deployed in, you know, much more serious, disturbing circumstances to justify a lot of really dangerous behaviors mm-hmm. on the part of boys and men. So, no.
Yep. Let's get rid of that one, too. Next, Peter says he's so excited for Hannah to meet his family, the Webbers. And he says, I love the sound of Hannah Webber. Now, Peter, let me just tell you, do not assume that Hannah's just going to take your name when you get married, because boy, oh boy, that's not the case. She has a choice. She wants to be Hannah Brown.
Right. And maybe he should be Peter Brown.
Yeah. Maybe she wants to hyphen. Maybe she just doesn't want to take a man's name ever.
Right. Like, we're just saying this is a discussion. Don't assume it. That's a tired convention. Mm-hmm. Have a conversation with your partner.
Yep. Peter Brown has a great ring to it.
It really does. I love the sound of Peter Brown. And finally, Garrett asks Luke if he's just licking his lips because he's attracted to him. Gonna also give this one a 4. I really hate the homophobic undertones here. The suggestion that it would be a negative thing if Luke was attracted to Garrett mm-hmm. or if Garrett was attracted to Luke. And the use of any kind of implications of queerness as an insult is just really, really damaging. So
yep,
please stop.
Man, we had a lot of fails this week.
Yeah, really did. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks so much to Lee Blickley for filling in. And of course, to my producer this week, Nick Offenberg. Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of Hannah season recaps. And of course, give us a 5-star rating and review. It helps other people find our show. You can also give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod. And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Emily Rose. And Lee, where are you at?
I'm at Lee Blickley.
We'll be back next week with another recap of The Bachelorette.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong.
Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.